Okay, you can do this.
I know. Carvana makes it so convenient to sell your car. It's just hard to let go. My car and I have been through so much together.
But look, you already have a great offer from Carvana. That was fast.
Well, I know my license plate and VIN by heart, and those questions were easy.
You're almost there. Now to just accept the offer and schedule a pickup or drop-off.
How'd you do it? How are you so strong in letting go of your car?
Well, I already made up my mind, and Carvana's so easy.
Yeah, true. And sold.
Go to Carvana.com to sell your car the convenient way.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Dickie Bird here from Chopped Tees. Our summer super sale is now on. Grab up to 25% off selected tees and hats from Post Wrestling, WrestleNomics, The Lapsed Fan, Poison Rana, and more. Shipping is free and fast almost everywhere in the world. Just go to chopped-tees.com and grab a deal before the sale ends at midnight, July 7.
Look at that. We are live in Philadelphia, John Pollock and Wei Ting. And we're going to start off post-wrestling's WrestleMania week with a big announcement, because Wei Ting, someone who is near and dear to everyone's heart, he has officially been named the official post-wrestling head of travel coordination, because the man hit a home run. And look, where have you brought us, Wade? This is not some like dingy hotel where we're just cramped into some broom closet. Yeah. You went all out.
Oh, I put us in a palace. I put us in a, you know, just the best that Philadelphia has to offer. We're at an Airbnb. You know what? This one actually was booked pretty late. So I think we got really lucky. Seems like a really nice part of town. And
coffee is very good. We are representing Red Parasol, where you get a sip of history.
Yeah. At your fingertips. We, you know, just had a check-in process that was really seamless, a flight that was like actually kind of enjoyable. Now, this comes off the heels of hearing about Davey Portman's travel, which sounded completely frightening. If you listen to their road diary, where just last
year, you and I slept like babies on this 90-minute plane ride. So, I mean, it balanced it out with Davey's. We had a great flight. He had a horrible flight.
If we came here like yesterday, like there was just crazy weather, crazy winds. But like our flight was just, I mean, it was lovely. It was just like a nice little nap. And then like got out of the airport like really fast, didn't have to have any checked bags, got our Uber, came here, no traffic. Check-in was relatively easy. We even had like the superintendent like guide us along. And then I just like, you know, set everything up, and here we are. We even have a chance to go live before we go out to the Mark Hitchcock show. So this was not a stream that was planned at all. For one thing, I wanted to do to test the Wi-Fi just to kind of see, you know, whether or not we're up and running. And it looks like we are. Hello, everybody watching us either on Twitter, YouTube, or I guess Facebook. So we are doing this one for free. But if you want to join us for our the rest of our streams throughout the course of the weekend, please go to postwrestlingcafe.com. That is where you can support the channel as well as get all of our WrestleMania week bonus coverage from John and myself. John Cena, W.H. Park will be chipping in here and there as well. As we are kicking off WrestleMania week. What show is going on as we speak?
We are picturing Bloodsport that is currently going on, that, as I understand, CM Punk is in attendance for.
A lot of news, like, you know.
Yeah, it seems like certainly we knew that Shayna Baszler was going to be doing Bloodsport, and there was the talk of, you know, other talents popping up and around. And, you know, we saw Natalia at the Stardom show appearing. Tony Storm was there. So this was not just limited to WWE talent appearing other places. Punk seems to be taking in the Bloodsport show. So the WWE talent is out and about at non-WWE shows this week as well, which
Tony,
is cool.
Tony Storm appears at Stardom. American Dream tells Mina Shirakawa the Forbidden Door is always open. That comes to us from Andrew Thompson over at postwrestlingcafe.com. So we're just really kind of catching up on everything right now. You know, we've been in the air. Haven't really been watching anything. Just put the
let me ask you this. When we arrived here, and as Wei mentioned, the woman that pretty much runs this place that we got to meet in 90%, I'm pretty sure she thought you and I were a couple.
Well, lovely.
I think
we pretty much are, dude.
Like, we are. Looks like, oh, this couple is here on a vacation together, and it must be their anniversary here in Philadelphia.
In many ways, it kind of is. That is what a WrestleMania is for us, isn't it? You know, we are contractually bound in the form of an incorporated company. So, we're here. We have a few hours before we head out to the 2300 arena, the ECW arena, for the very first time for the Mark Hitchcock show. I decided to do a little live stream here to test out our stream as well as maybe preview WrestleMania before we head out.
No, just check the stream. We'll see you. Bye.
Yeah.
No, we're going to go through the WrestleMania card. So yeah, again, the rest of our coverage this weekend mainly will be on the Post Wrestling Cafe. So if you want to jump on board, you're going to get a ton of stuff this weekend, including our reaction right after the Mark Hitchcock show. We'll be doing reactions after all the shows we go to. The two free shows we'll do this weekend are after night one and night two of WrestleMania. So
I want to first of all shout out the person who actually decided to send us a super chat unprompted here, $30 from Ryan, just to say, enjoy the weekend, fellas. Enjoy a drink or two at Drinkers. We certainly will.
So it turns out we're going to Drinkers Pub Sunday, and it's definitely walking distance. Like, we passed it here on our Uber over here, and all of a sudden I see Chestnut Street, and it's probably a 10-15 minute walk from where we are.
So the pre-party is over at the Airbnb.
Yeah. And like, just wandering here for coffee, some awesome spots around here food wise. And we are literally around the corner from Penn's Landing. Like, this Bloodsport show is 10 minutes walking distance from where we are at the moment. So this area is perfect.
Yes.
I'm not leaving this Airbnb all weekend. I'm watching WrestleMania on this laptop.
This is great.
How do you like this new laptop? I love it.
Your new laptop?
Yeah, my new laptop.
It's lovely. It's got a nice coating of dust on it already.
That's the Pollock special. That. Yes.
But I love the setup. Like, I mean, you know, I've dealt with like shitty hotel Wi-Fi for so long. You know, it's the slowest thing. But like, when you're, I guess, in Airbnbs, you're kind of dealing with residential Wi-Fi, and this kicks ass. So so everything seems to be going well.
I got to see up close and personal. As Wei was preparing here, I got to see the master in action here on Photoshop. And I got to say, it's like, I'm eyeing like Wei's technique. Wei, everybody, not a mouse guy. Okay. He is just a mouse free operator, which is a different skill level. I need that mouse. But just watching him create these graphics, I mean, it's just like, wow. Seamless.
Helps to be well-rounded depending on the situation. But yeah, quickly whipped up some graphics here and just set up this entire stream. I want to say hi to everybody in the chat room here. This is really cool just to kind of, you know, go live, and already we have seemingly hundreds of people watching us. So hello, Soren.
Right? Dan, I'm definitely a Windows guy for life.
Is that right?
I'm never leaving Windows. I'm contractually obligated.
SB Design Works, hello from the UK. You two are my favorite wrestling podcasters. Well, glad to thank you. You have great taste. What can I say?
Or not. I don't know.
Barack Riznok.
Obama?
hello, all of you guys.
Let's get into the WrestleMania preview.
Talk about WrestleMania. And then maybe after that, if you have anything else you want to touch on for the rest of the week, we could do that. But first, let's go through this weekend's WrestleMania matches, starting with night one. Now, there has been a rumored match order from Dave Meltzer. I'm simply going by, I think, what Wikipedia lists, which is what I think like the order was that these matches were announced on Raw. So order subject to change, but we at least know that these will be the night one matches. And let's start things off here with Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch.
Yeah, I think that overall, I think this is going to be an excellent match on the first night. I think it's one of the biggest matches of the weekend between the two WrestleMania matches. It's been, I think the build has been essentially, here are two of our superstars, and it's not been a dynamic we've seen with Rhea Ripley throughout this year-long title reign. Like, it has been sort of Rhea Ripley and everybody else in the division while she's been kept away from the Beckys and, you know, Charlotte since the program a year ago. So I look at this and, yeah, there's the opportunity that Becky could win. It could also be, you know, this is the dominant title reign that they're going to continue. Rhea still feels red hot and could fully go babyface after this, or they keep her in sort of this role in the Judgment Day. There's a lot storyline wise that I can see different directions of them going, but I would say overall, especially if this is in the opener, I think this is going to be one of the stronger matches between the two nights, and you're going to have an excellent crowd that being that early on the first night.
Yeah, I really think so too. I think the card positioning really helps this match. I think it's a match that really kind of sells itself just on paper. The build, they've done like good teases throughout the year, but I don't think they've really created that much personal like heat, I want to say.
She mentioned her baby.
Yeah, like that, and that's about as much as I think we've got. There has been like a loose story of Becky.
You interrupted my MMA hour interview.
There has been like, I think, a loose story of Becky, I guess, not being fully confident that she could beat Rhea Ripley. And therefore, you know, she Rhea's claiming that Becky has been so active so that Becky will have an excuse for when she loses to Rhea. Whereas Becky's, especially ramping up like this past week, her claim is that being a champion means you have to be very active. And Rhea Ripley has not been very active as a defending champion. So I think it's time for a change. You know, we've kind of gone through the Rhea Ripley roster of matches. Now we are going to, you know, head towards a brand split, and that kind of freshens things up. So that's something to consider. But I just think the division feels a lot fresher with Becky on top. I feel like it's been enough time since she's held the championship that it feels like there's more potential for big matchups with Becky at holding it. So I'm going to predict Becky Lynch. What do you say?
I'll go with Rhea to retain. I think that if you even wanted to squeeze like another match out of this, it's Becky comes out of it and further is in doubt if she can beat Rhea Ripley. There's that opportunity. Yeah, I don't have like a strong feeling either way. Like one way is the better direction than the other. And
something else I would consider too is whether or not there's any possibility of Damian Priest coming out of WrestleMania with some championship, a world championship, you know, namely Seth Rollins world championship. And would that create any sort of interesting dynamic with him being the only champion within Judgment Day? Whereas, you know, like Finn would have lost the tag titles presumably, and also Rhea losing the tag titles. Sorry.
The women's title. Yeah. There's that idea too, that you could have all your Judgment Day members losing that we had discussed. And we'll get to with like the Rey Santos match as, or the Dominic Santos tag match with Ray and Dragon Lee.
Let's talk up next about Gunther versus Sami Zayn. This is one that has really kind of ramped up its story. From what we know, original plans were Brock Lesnar and Gunther.
Yes. Right? I don't know if that would have involved the IC title, but it would have been the match at WrestleMania.
So if it didn't involve the IC title, what would that have meant?
I think there was the possibility Gunther could have lost the title beforehand, or they could have gone forward with it being an IC title match, but regardless, it was going to be Gunther and Brock at WrestleMania. So this was an obvious pivot and one that I think they've built up pretty effectively. And you've definitely got the background player in Chad Gable involved in this. And I think this is the time for Gunther to lose. I think he's done the record-breaking title run. I think he's gotten as much as he can out of the IC title run, and I would like to see him lose it and progress over this next 6 to 12 months and go up to the main event picture. And I think it's a big Sami Zayn win. The only caveat would be Chad Gable turning on Zayn at the last minute, which, I mean, you could do that. I feel at this point we've got to pick our guy to beat Gunther. And if it's not Sami Zayn, you have some options. You could do a Braun Breaker. You could do a Chad Gable. But I think the time is now, and this is as strong a stage to do it as I can see.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly in Sami Zayn and Chad Gable, they found like two guys that I think the audience really wants to see be that person dethrone Gunther. Like I would have even said Jay would have been a really great candidate, but they've done a great job of using Gunther as this major obstacle for your baby faces to just feel like really strong baby faces against. And I'm more of the opinion that like I think Gunther will move on to the world title picture like sometime this year. But if you're looking at the possibility of Cody being a fresh champion, possibly either Drew or Damian Priest being a fresh champion on the world title picture, Well,
can I just say they've gone all out for Masha Slamovich here with this video package for Bloodsport. I mean, this is high end quality. Anyway, sorry. I have a short attention span.
It's okay. If you're like just trying to establish those two new reigns coming out of this WrestleMania, well, where does that leave Gunther? You know, Gunther's the type of champion that should be winning as soon as he challenges for the belt. So I think they have time to continue this IC title run that much longer. As you build towards, you know, maybe even a main event level match where Gunther can defend against either one of these two one more time. I think to prolong this story that much longer, you need to tell the story deeper about Chad Gable versus Sami Zayn. So I really am in love with the idea of them, like, you know, going for that Jordan Devlin, David Starr, Walter storyline, and having Gable somehow being ringside, helping Sami Zayn, cheering Sami Zayn out throughout the entire match, and then realizing at the very end that he can't live with Sami Zayn being the one to dethrone Gunther, and he wants to be the one to dethrone Gunther, somehow causing Sami Zayn the victory, leading to those two having a match, maybe even a three-way down the road for the two of them versus Gunther. That would, to me, would prolong the story, would tell a bit of a deeper story. I think Zayn and Gable have that much more to do with each other before, you know, this whole thing is over. So I'm predicting Gunther retention. I'd love to see, you know, how they get there, because to me, this has been one of the sort of like more unexpected, you know, good stories heading into this WrestleMania.
Are there any, what would be your thought on either Sami Zayn defending the title for the first time in Montreal, or do you do something in this match and you do a rematch in Montreal? Mm-hmm. He can do the big title win in 2 weeks time, or are we putting too much emphasis on this Raw because it's in Montreal?
Because it's a Raw, I don't think we have to think that, like, I don't think they need to like do like the match there. Like, I think any big Sami Zayn match would be strong. Like, and that could be a match against Chad Gable. It could be a match against Gunther. We should also maybe consider Money in the Bank as a potential destination for like a big Sami Zayn match as well. So, yeah.
I think this is one of the more captivating matches on either night that people are very much invested in.
Let's see if you feel the same way about this one. This is the six-pack ladder match for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships between the awesome Truth, Grayson Waller, Austin Theory. Do you know anything about that?
About what?
Like, there were at least like rumors that like Waller and Theory might not make.
Yeah, not to my understanding. I mean,
At this point, I mean, we're just going to assume that this is the match here.
You've had all this speculation about this match, about teams being added. You have the fact that Matt Hardy has a contractually free to show up. I mean, you can always do some surprise appearance by anyone in this, but I mean, for the sake of looking at these teams here, I think there's a high probability of Judgment Day losing the tag titles, and that could still segue to Damian Priest doing a cash in, whether it be at Mania or the Raw the night after WrestleMania. You have that. In terms of the team to win this, honestly, I feel like Miz and R-Truth are probably like the strongest picks to win the tag titles. I really don't see DIY or New Catch Republic at that level. I think New Day, it's kind of like doesn't feel like their time to go with another tag title run for New Day. Waller and Theory desperately need something. Not clamoring for that one. Like Truth and Miz, I think that, you know, it's not going to be a significant title reign, but I could see that being something that's played in there, or they have some curveball that's thrown into this match and
Yeah,
and you go that way.
As a match itself, I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, it's
a lot of people in a ladder match. Maybe too many.
Has it ever been too many,
though? Yes, it has been. It's a lot of bodies to keep track of. It's a lot of people too that have either. I mean, you certainly have some excellent talent in this match.
I only ask because at one point I feel like when the prospect of TLC was brought up, I'm sure a lot of people thought that it was too many people, and those are some of the best matches of all time. I think they
capped it at six. We got double that.
Yeah, I know, but six was a doubling of, you know, whatever you had prior to that. You know, four was, you know, probably too much at one point, and they upped it to six, and then they upped it to eight even for, you know, TLC 3. what's 12, you know? I feel like there will be enough coordination and choreography to make everything work. Look for spectacular stunts involving everybody. I think DIY to me are like maybe more likely candidates, although like I don't think you should put the championship on them right away. I'd rather see them chase for it a little bit more. So I definitely think Judgment Day loses, but to whom? Yeah, I'm not going to discount Miz and R-Truth. I'm not going to discount Theory and Waller as much as I think they're kind of booked to not be at the
like literally level. You can go with anyone here, including like I don't like the idea of Judgment Day retaining, even though they're definitely the strongest act of the six that are in front of us here.
The only thing I can see for an argument for the New Day holding the championships is if they have a scene at the end with Big E that they want to, you know, do something with. We know he's, of course, going to be a part of the kickoff. He'll be around. If they want to do a big celebratory moment, that might be what they do. So you got a prediction or what?
I'm going to go with Miz and R-Truth to win the ladder match. By the way, we got Shayna Baszler out here for the Masha Slamovich match, and Zoe Stark is in her corner. And Jordan everyone
Grace. Jordan Grace was in Masha's.
Oh, I missed Jordan Grace. That's cool.
Yeah.
The way they have shot this, like this place, it looks packed.
It looks awesome.
At Penn's Landing. It's a really cool setting that they have. I mean,
I almost want to pause just to kind of watch this.
Okay, we're by a
we'll follow along. We'll catch up on it later. But yeah, this feels like it's a main event almost. Anyway, up next we got brother versus brother, Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso.
You know what I'm most looking forward to is the video package. I hope they have some spectacular video for this that I would hope actually airs on SmackDown the night before. You have so much just with the Bloodline stuff. Forget the fact that these two have been on the main roster for almost 14 years. You have so much to lean into. I wouldn't say that I have been super invigorated by this lead up, but it's sort of just the brother versus brother concept. There was a time when that was a obstacle for people to get into, just the believability factor. With the Hardys, it was just a program that I don't think a whole lot of people wanted to see, at least in WWE. With this one, I think it does enhance it because they have put in the time behind this one. And I think they look at this as a significant one. Like, here are these guys that headlined night one last year. Now they get their singles match. It's significant. The entire Samoan wrestling family is so front and center for this year's WrestleMania. And this is a aspect of that. And then it comes down to the match delivering. I think they're going to have the audience with them. And now it's on them to kind of deliver a really spectacular match. And if this is the match order, like, look what they're following. The women's title match, Gunther and Zayn, and a ladder match. That's a lot to follow on this show. And
we don't know the match order, by the way. This is just, you know,
okay, well,
what they've announced.
Right. So potential. Like, this is probably slotted somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. I'm going to say I don't think the hype for this one maybe achieved what I thought they would, but you know, by the time they broke them up. And I think part of that is at least because Jey Uso, they've done such a tremendous job with, but Jimmy on the other side has been really just kind of treated as a clown, and they've really done very little to make him feel like a threat. They kept them apart long enough, but they're really just kind of selling this one, on the novelty of this being a brother versus brother match. And that might be enough, you know, for WrestleMania, for that moment, and whether or not the crowd kind of buys into it. The Bloodline is just, I mean, so incredibly, they're still very hot despite, you know, maybe what happened over the past year. So this almost feels like a precursor to, you know, all the other Bloodline festivities throughout the weekend. I think Jimmy needs to win this one.
I kind of lean with Jimmy as well. And I'd also be interested to see if they do something to like injure Jey to take him out so that he's not at, he can't get involved with to help Cody and Rollins. Like, I think everything is building up that it's Cody's back against the wall on Sunday night. I could see like an angle after this with Solo Sikoa is, I hope he has some involvement. Cause when you look from the Cena win last year and he's been such a background figure. I wouldn't say he's been just dismissed. He's off to the side. And that's probably by some design. I just hope he's semi-involved in this because they put so much into him that you hope he has some big impact on whether it be one of the main events or involved in this, you would think like there's plenty of room for Solo Sikoa's involvement.
Do we get an appearance from Dad?
Yeah, I would say,
or a rap even, you know, you hear his Wu-Tang rap, his Triumph rap.
Do I want to hear it?
It's actually pretty good.
Okay. Maybe he'll do a rendition of, what was his song? Put a Little Ass on It.
That's right. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah. Yes. This is all the things we're looking forward to. Well, maybe Rhea Ripley was giving us a unintended tease of Rikishi putting a little ass on it at WrestleMania. Yeah,
so I think we're both going with Jimmy for that one.
Sure.
Up next, we've got Bianca Belair, Naomi, and the debut of Jade Cargill versus Damage Control, Dakota Kai, Kairi Sane.
How many specialized entrances are we getting in this?
Oh, good question.
They're calling, someone did this fan art of the Glow, the Storm, the EST.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm looking forward to like the entrances, like between Belair every year has had a big entrance. Yeah. Naomi, it just lends itself so well to a big Mania entrance. And yeah. Jade should have the spectacular superhero entrance.
I'm not really seeing separate entrances for Damage Control. Like,
no,
I think they come out as one. Hopefully they make it somewhat special, but
maybe they have 1,000 dancers with Asuka. Just dancing to that Damage Control.
Oh, that would be quite interesting. I think, I mean, this to me, the appeal of this, you know, maybe initially there were discussions of simply making this a tag team title match between, you know, Naomi and Bianca versus Kabuki Warriors, but it's so much more interesting having Jade Cargill in there. And I'm so curious to see, like, in an actual match, how much she's developed, how they book her to accentuate her strengths.
Oh, this match is all about Jade.
And what that entrance is going to feel like. You know, they've done an incredible job of making this person feel like a top star without even her actually having a single match. So WrestleMania is going to be the biggest stage where, like, WWE can really kind of flex their, you know, muscles to just make somebody look that much larger than life. Now, you know, the big question is, can she live up to that billing when it's time for her to wrestle? In this sort of setting where she just has to kind of come in, get a hot tag, everybody sells for her, the answer is yes. And is there anything, like, what do you hope to leave this match with for Jade Cargill?
I think you want to position her as, like, the new force in the women's division that looks like this unstoppable figure. I wouldn't have her, like, extended periods of selling. I don't think the audience wants to see that. I think they want Jade, like, you have to give enough of everyone involved here. But I think, you know, the key is Jade getting the big win at the end. I think this is a layup for the baby faces winning this, and it's Jade pinning pick your talent here.
Yeah.
And if it's one of Asuka or Sane, that definitely sets up a tag title program with one of the two as well.
Well, I definitely see Naomi and Belair like challenging for the tag
team. That might be where you go, and Jade is more off to her own. But I can certainly see an alliance of these three following this on SmackDown.
So to that end, I don't know if Jade necessarily needs to get the pinfall. But I think she has to be the deciding factor to, you know, help Naomi and Belair get that win over the Kabuki Warriors. So I think we're all picking the baby faces to win that one. Up next, we've got Santos Escobar, Dominic Mysterio taking on Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, I mean, it's a match that I think it's fine. I think it'll be a heated match because of Dominic. It'll be perfectly fine. Yeah.
I think like grand entrances might really help this one. You know, the way, I mean, last year, Dominic's entrance in the cop car was like my favorite entrance of the entire year. I think, you know, just simply here having Dominic and Ray be attached to this one and seeing them on such a big stage is going to mean a lot, for at least the atmosphere of the match.
And I guess the question is, like, Carlito being involved in some way. Sure. I think that's definitely the way you were supposed to take that reaction when he named Dragon Lee as the partner.
Andrade could be a factor as well.
Yeah, I think that is all in the background, too, is like whatever they are setting up with this Judgment Day fracturing. It does feel like Dominic is putting the pieces for his group coming out of this.
When you really think about it, like, this is really like pretty amazing for Dragon Lee, you know, to like be just kind of shoved into, like, he's really been somewhat inactive ever since his call up here and match over.
Yeah, Shayna. I missed the ending here, but okay. It looks like Shayna won. And just without commentary, I would suggest this this top the Ronda Rousey match at SummerSlam.
The silent.
Do you know what Ronda called the SummerSlam match? What? She's like, that was my final fuck you to the fans. It wasn't about the fans. It was for us. Okay. I was like, oh, that's nice.
Anyway, I think this is huge for Dragon Lee. He could stand to be the one to really kind of seal the show here, at least in ring. You know, look for him and Santos to just maybe do a lot of, like, you know, just like impress. You know, that to me is his role here to really kind of up some of the spectacle here. He's getting to wrestle on a WrestleMania stage in a tag match with Rey Mysterio. Like, I think that's beyond probably his own expectations, you know, at least earlier this year. So I'm gonna actually pick the heels for this one.
Yeah, I think so.
Just due to whatever shenanigans, whether it be through Carlito or Andrade. Let's go to our main event of night one here. We have The Rock, Roman Reigns, taking on Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes.
Cutting out entrances, which could be half an hour. How long do you think the match goes? Roughly.
I think it can go 23 minutes. Like, there's going to be a lot of posturing, you know, like 20 to 30 minutes even. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of posturing, a lot of standing in the ring, like just, you know, like Rock Hogan, like looking back and forth, just kind of feeling the atmosphere. That's kind of their style. And from what we've seen of Dwayne Johnson, it's going to be more of a slow moving match with a lot of theatrics. Mama Rhodes might be in the crowd. Your assessment of just this entire thing. In this entire build, however we got here up until this point.
I think the proof is in the pudding. It's been super successful. It's been captivating for the audience each week. The numbers have reflected that. As much as we look at The Rock's involvement, if we're just looking at, you know, business has spiked, but the guy who's Mr. Quarter Hour has been Cody Rhodes in this buildup. And I think that's a great signal that as big as The Rock has been coming back here, Cody does feel like the guy that you want to have in this position post WrestleMania. This is much like, you know, a Tyson grabbing all that attention in 98, but Austin was the guy to carry things once Tyson was gone. Mm-hmm. And they've set up so much for the aftermath of WrestleMania. And I think, you know, I would say this has been probably the best run that Seth Rollins has had in the company, Shield included. Like, he has been firing on all cylinders. And this was, let's remember, we had that injury scare with him. Imagine that thrown into all of the plans that could have been another whole disaster for them if they lost Punk and Rollins in all of this. I would say the one negative that you've brought up a lot has, like, Reigns has felt like the background figure, I would say, of all four.
Yeah. Would you say this, do you like this Rock run more than the Cena ones?
I think Rock's been excellent in the heel role. I think it's been refreshing. I thought he would have to be fighting the crowd a lot more. And, like, the audience goes nuts for him when he comes out, but they quickly get into their understanding of, like, booing The Rock. And it has not been like this friction that when I saw the heel, like, introduction, it was like, okay, there's a novelty to Rock playing heel in this day and age, but man, it's going to be so hard. But he's been excellent. Like, the angle with the blood outside by the bus, I thought was fantastic. And I think Rock's been excellent. You can see that he's totally invested in this. Cody's been an awesome baby face, and Rollins was the one I was more concerned about sort of being just the secondary champion and swept up with the star power here. The guy has more than held his own in this whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's not overshadowed the Drew McIntyre match. He has elevated his, like, everyone has contributed in a big way. Mm-hmm. I guess you'd look at Reigns has been the one that has struggled the most, where he is second fiddle to The Rock. And I guess that makes it more interesting to see now how these two nights are laid out, where he is the big prize to be beaten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, there's going to be, I think, a lot written about the build towards this WrestleMania in the future. Maybe the truth will eventually fully come out about what exactly happened in the space between the Royal Rumble and, you know, the Rock's first appearance and the whisper into Cody's ear. I feel pretty confident in saying that, like, there was definitely a pivot somewhere in there, but as far as the like changes in plans go, they couldn't have asked for a better result. It's completely made this a more interesting WrestleMania build than what might have been, you know, still a very good, straightforward build towards Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. But this has been so much more interesting. And yes, it's come at the expense of Roman, but I wouldn't.
At the end of the day, though, it's still, you know,
they can pivot from there. You know, like there's enough tension unspoken here between The Rock and Roman Reigns. Some of it's spoken. They did already tease, you know, the acknowledge me thing. They just really kind of haven't really hammered it home. Expect maybe that to be sort of further ramped up here. I as far as like the match goes, do you expect any involvement from any other parties? You know, whether it be the Bloodline or Drew McIntyre potentially to interfere with Seth Rollins, or do you see things just kind of taking place between the two? And who do you pick as the winner?
I would definitely go with the heels winning this one. I think it sets up the night two perfectly, where again it's Cody with his back against the wall in the Bloodline. Like they did the whole closing angle on Raw to explain like Bloodline rules. He has no chance. Mm-hmm. So I see them going with that. And to me, it's the finish to do. If you have Cody coming out as champion, I have Rock beating him on the first night. I think that that sets up. It's your wink to the audience that you're getting this match. You don't know when, but it's going to happen at some point over the next year. You have stuff that can spin off from Rollins as well with Reigns. So I see the heels winning this. I wouldn't want to overdo it on all of the interference, but that might be setting the table for the next night. So I think like there are going to be bells and whistles in this. And one of the big questions is going to be how much you're doing with The Rock. Like there's, yeah, the guy doesn't have to wrestle the next night, but he's got to film immediately after this. Yep. And that production has to be nervous as hell watching this.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't think you can, like they've even teased like him being put through a desk. Like you can safeguard as much as you want. It's sometimes the simplest things that can cause the biggest injuries.
Especially when you're talking about a man who at this point is what, 50 something?
51.
51. And he's way bigger than he's ever been, and big muscles don't at an older age are not necessarily like the easiest things to, you know.
That's why I got rid of him. It's just too worrisome.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. So I'm very curious to see like what style of wrestling The Rock will employ. You know, is it going to be more of a big man monster, like for lack of
Dwayne Johnson word? Blood sport prepping his Mark Kerr hammer fists,
you know. So I'm very curious to see like how Dwayne changes up his style. I think there's going to be something within him where he's going to want to wrestle like the Dwayne of old, just like, you know, ego. But I mean,
he's going to get by on super charisma, and I think working as the heel, I think the audience will be into that mode of
I think that, you know, he's going to be the sort of most dominant force in the match. But I think the match should end with Roman Reigns getting the pinfall.
Roman pinning Cody.
I think Roman, because I think Roman needs it heading into the final night. And you want to put the attention on Roman Reigns versus Cody, you know, heading into the night two. But The Rock can be the cause of the pinfall. And that would be enough to, you know, and not to mention like The Rock will get involved in the match the next night too. So you have enough to build that way. I also wouldn't do too much interference because you're essentially, this is a match to get to the match with interference the next night. So in order to make interference feel somewhat special and earned, I think they need to maybe get away from it. And for that reason, I don't even know if I would expect a Drew McIntyre to get involved to lead to the next night. Although poetically, that would make a lot of sense with Drew helping the Bloodline, the people that, you know, robbed him of his moment in the first place. Anyway, I think everybody's, you know, thinking heels for this one.
Okay, you can do this.
I know. Carvana makes it so convenient to sell your car. It's just hard to let go. My car and I have been through so much together.
But look, you already have a great offer from Carvana. That was fast.
Well, I know my license plate and VIN by heart, and those questions were easy.
You're almost there. Now to just accept the offer and schedule a pickup or drop-off.
How'd you do it? How are you so strong in letting go of your car?
Well, I already made up my mind, and Carvana's so easy.
Yeah, true. And sold.
Go to Carvana.com to sell your car the convenient way.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Let's move on to night two here. We have what should kick off the second night, Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I think this is going to be awesome. I think that they, man, this has been a great run for Drew McIntyre. I'd be very strong in the idea of Drew winning this and like Seth coming into this weekend from the night before, and you can set that up. You know, you've got the Damian Priest option that's out there that could, you know, Drew wins this and then gets screwed. Obviously, now you're looking at June with that event in Glasgow, mm-hmm. Scotland, that you would think will be all built around Drew. I see these guys getting like 20 minutes or so and probably a strong probability of Drew winning the title. Like, he has been just tremendous. I mean, if there is a guy that, you know, I don't know what his plan would have been if they had gone with if Punk had not gotten hurt. But I mean, talk about a backup plan that has just elevated everyone greatly and kept Punk in the, like, Punk has like eight matches when he comes back. Drew at the top of the list, and you've got Rollins. You've got all these great options. So this is in really great shape. And I guess as well, it's like the question that people will have after too. Like, if you have Cody coming out, like the need for these two titles at this point, when you have, you know, your active champions as well, if people kind of tire of just, you know, versus having that one singular champion. But I can't say like Seth has been lost in the mix here with this title.
I think like the whether it be the shows or just the roster and the brand split makes it so that like two championships is fine. Like, I don't think it hurts anything, you know, to have. And I think it kind of enhances, you know, the product. Certainly, I don't know if Seth Rollins would feel as strong of a presence right now without the championship. So I mean, I don't see them like, you know, unifying anytime soon. There's no doubt, like, Drew to me is one of the MVPs of the past year. He just continues to just, I don't know, like, continue to impress me so much in the way he thinks about playing a realistic, logical, rational heel in, you know, 2024, that I really want to see this continue. But there's also something I think that'll be wonderful and will probably make him an even bigger heel if he manages to lose the championship through some means. And that could be through either Seth Rollins simply retaining, or it could be through Damian Priest. Now, would you build to Priest versus Drew coming off of it? Maybe it's just time to, you know, crown Drew, and he's going to want to defend at Clash of the Castle. I think Clash of the Castle, you know, changes a lot of things, because you'll definitely think of Drew in that position. And also CM Punk, the Punk match. I mean, when will that be? Doesn't need a championship, but would be nice if it was Punk chasing Drew for the championship. I'm going to say there are a lot of different possibilities for this one, you know, just namely like the cash in. But I'm going to say Drew McIntyre wins this one.
Same.
Let's go up next. We've got Bayley versus Io Sky.
Yeah, I don't think this has hit the level that people were expecting it to. There is a story there. They have leaned on the backstory. I think come match time, I think they're going to have a very good match. Like, there's really nothing on either of these two nights that you're looking at and being like, wow, this could be a disaster. I don't think there's any of those matches between the two nights, just in terms of the makeup here. But I think they're in a spot where it's largely going to be the bell-to-bell work that's going to be how this one is remembered. And if they go out and have a exceptional match, then the lead up is not going to be focused on too much. And if they don't, it's going to be blamed on like the lead up wasn't as strong and it just didn't click in that way. I could see Bayley winning, but I don't feel like she's hit like this level as this big baby face that it just seems like the timing is perfect and this is the time to do it. If like, it wouldn't be hard to talk me out of like a title switch here and just remain with Io and continue with something strong, because I just don't feel this one has hit that emotional high where this is feeling like it's going to be a big coronation for Bailey.
Right. Yeah. I tend to agree. Of all the title programs, this is obviously the coldest one. And depending on placement on the show, it's possible that maybe a lack of reaction could actually stand out and be that much noticeable compared to the rest of the card. I think they might be able to at least prevent some of that by giving us an interesting entrance for both women, just to kind of enhance the what's really not there in terms of storyline. And that could be something big for Io Sky. I wonder if we get any sort of throwback to like the Bailey of old, and this is her turning back into a baby face. Do we get the old song? Do we get the Bailey buddies? Would that be anything that they would consider to help enhance the crowd's interaction with this match?
It would help. I don't like the idea of just going back to the past for just that reason. For the night, it would work, but it would only be for one night, which is fine. I mean, that song is very synonymous with her, and I think it would generate that reaction you're wanting. It just feels like it's like just the low hanging fruit for the easy pop, but that's part of the aspect of it. And if it helps the match, then that's a benefit.
I'm going to say Bailey wins this one. I also wonder if you get any Jade Cargill at the end of this. She gets a very impressive outing on night one. Night two comes out, immediately challenges the winner of this one, which would make sense if it was Bailey. But you think Io wins this one?
I don't have a strong feeling either way.
Okay. You might have a strong feeling about this one. AJ Styles versus LA Knight, a match of international proportions, home invasions.
Hasn't AJ said he's going to have a new theme song? I think he said.
Did he?
I think he said he's going to have a new
heel
theme song.
Theme song, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, great.
Maybe it's him singing.
Oh, hell.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm going to call the cops on you. God damn. This is a match.
What's the stipulation for this?
It's a match. That's it.
Yeah, they're not even doing Street Fighter or anything, right?
No, yeah, okay. There's no stipulation attached.
Maybe the
goal is to be perfectly fine.
Yeah. LA Knight to me has definitely lost some luster in the time between, when he was at his hottest last year to now. And so much of that is because of just like this everlasting feud against AJ that I don't think has been that compelling. Maybe on a WrestleMania stage with a different type of crowd, he'll feel hot again. Some of these things are kind of unpredictable. Like, who would have ever predicted certain people to stand out among certain crowds? Like, Io Sky at what am I thinking? Puerto Rico. Maybe the LA Knight reaction will just be that much stronger and this match will feel great. Now, the other part of the equation is just an AJ Styles. And up until this point, what can you say have there been many great AJ Styles WrestleMania matches?
Well, let's look at them. The first year was Jericho, which was a very good match. He had the Shane McMahon match, which was definitely over-delivered for what you would expect with Shane McMahon at that tenure. Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania was kind of not...
It was a disappointment.
It was not their best match.
Compared to the expectations. I mean, we have heightened expectations for an AJ Styles, especially on a big stage. And I don't know if he's necessarily kind of, lived up to it yet. Let's see if he can do it here, There's always high hopes for an AJ Styles appearance.
I'll go with AJ here.
I'm going to go with LA Knight.
Just I think you got to build up some heels for Cody and
okay. Yeah, that's right. All right. Up next, we've got Logan Paul taking on Kevin Owens, Randy Orton.
Yes. The best poster for facial facsimiles of these three individuals. I see Logan Paul retaining in this. I'm more interested to see what the finish is. You could go the most spectacular finish is obviously someone taking a crazy RKO and Randy winning. Which you could do. I mean, Randy winning the U.S. title. I mean, maybe that's as strong a position as you want Randy for now. Mm-hmm. So I might be talking myself into Randy winning this match, but I still feel they have. I mean, the idea, to be honest, why not? I'll pick Randy here with Logan Paul laid out over his prime logo on the mat.
Okay.
And he's just, we get the blimp, the overhead blimp shot that is sponsored by C4 Energy, the official energy drink of WWE now, shooting down on the fallen Logan Paul. I would bet that you would think KSI does some running in this too. Like this is a big, this is the big prime sponsorship unveiling on the mat as well.
Right. True, true, true.
I asked Brandon this, how many people slip on that logo in the middle?
Ooh, okay. We'll see.
Over or under 1.5?
Yes, I don't know.
I'm taking the over. Okay.
I see this Logan run like continuing just, you know, because they to me have like yet to really fully like completely taken advantage of, I think, you know, him having this championship and building to those big title defenses. So I see him retaining, but I mean, I really like the idea of like him being laid out on the mat, as you mentioned, following an RKO. Also interesting, of course, is to just see what sort of interaction Kevin Owens and Randy Orton have. It's inevitable. These two will turn on each other at some point in the match. I think
this could also be our match where we get some cameos involved, mm-hmm. whether it's like KSI, Jake Paul. I mean, that's interesting, too. Just the fact that Netflix is going to be promoting that Jake Paul fight with Tyson so heavily. And WWE is now one of their major partners on top of it. If you see any cross promotion in advance of the Netflix deal next year on top of that, I'm interested to see how this one is laid out. I think this one will over deliver. And maybe that's too, I don't think anyone's looking at this in a, it just feels like not one of the big matches that comes to mind when you're thinking of Mania, but I think they will have a well laid out match. And Orton's been incredibly hot since this return, and it's kept up. You know what you're going to get from Logan Paul, and you know what you're going to get from Kevin Owens. It's all three very capable people. And I think they'll have a very strong, you know, 14 minutes or whatever time they get.
You're picking.
I'll go with Randy. Sure. Why not?
I'll pick Logan Paul. And then we've got
The main event,
the Pride, the Street Profits, and Bobby Lashley taking on what are they?
The Final Testament.
Final Testament. I was going to say the Prophecy, something like that.
Yeah.
Karrion Kross and the Authors of Pain. The Authors of Pain and Karrion Kross making it onto WrestleMania. I think that's one of the bigger
Philadelphia Street Fight. Which, I mean, if ever you wanted to do some ECW cameos, this is the match to do it. This is the one you put all the bells and whistles in. This is the one you do your, oh my God, I can't believe he showed up. And certainly everyone is suggesting that.
Much like the ladder match on night one, I think the stipulation is probably the most interesting thing, you know, about the match itself, because it certainly isn't the story.
Well, these six have to go out there and just kill it for the time they had and make everybody forget that this interminable buildup that has gone on. You could tell me 2 years they have been leading to this six-man tag that has just gone on forever and ever and ever. And I can't say there's been one compelling segment in the bunch. I think that this has greatly brought down the Street Profits. I think that this has greatly brought down Bobby Lashley. You know, the Final Testament, I can't say it's brought them down, because you had AOP just coming back into a similar role, and Karrion Kross was off the map until this angle. So I think they're all out there to have, and they have the type of match that they can do a lot of spectacular stuff. But this is one that I think they need to go out there and just kill it for whatever time they get, and use all the weapons and creativity they can. And a Montez Ford could stand out in a big way.
I think WWE has been known at this point to, like, you know how to book their beat matches. We've seen, you know, evidence of that on with Ivar and Bronson Reed, and just like, especially their like brawl in the crowd where they're just, you know, they're very fun to watch. And you have plenty of meat here between the Authors of Pain and, you know, Bobby Lashley. I see just a lot of spectacle. That's all this match should be. High spot, high spot, high spot. Tables breaking.
That's what this needs.
Big stunt, you know? And if this is successful, this can totally turn this feud around and actually make this, you know, something worthwhile to keep following after the fact. So,
but like AOP, like they're very good athletes. They can do some really cool stuff. Ditto for like all these individual parts. Like, I don't have any like negative sort. Like Karrion Kross, he's not been a big hit since he's returned, but I think he, in the right setting, he should maybe be on this show, and I think he'd be super compelling.
He has been in the past.
Yeah, he has been. And Bobby Lashley has, you know, I think that he's in a very secure spot. The Street Profits have definitely fallen, I think, just in their popularity. And they were on a trajectory where, like, Angelo Dawkins was one of the most improved guys in the company. And I'm just hoping that this can kind of break them through to the next level.
Yeah. when, like, who wins and who loses, I feel like is even less important than the fact that, like, they all have a good match. Like, they all just have a good match. Otherwise, they all lose. But booking wise, sure, I would give it to the, what is it?
The Pride. I am picking.
You're picking the Pride. I'm going to pick the Final Testament.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And then we have our main event, the main event, would you say? Like, the Night 1 versus Night 2 argument definitely, I think, has, it's at least a bit more debatable this year, wouldn't you say?
This is the finish everyone is most locked into. And there's definitely the positive you get out of last year is that no matter how solid people will feel about Cody winning this, is you are going to have that doubt until it happens. Totally, like, that's what you get after a 3.5 year reign, is the idea of this guy losing. When that three count is made, you're going to hopefully have an explosion. I think 100% this is the time for Cody to win. Mm-hmm. They have set it up in such a way. I won't say no chance that Roman Reigns retains, but I feel this is the one for Cody to win. I'm cool with him losing night one, and it's all in how they set this up for, I think, the rematch. I think Roman disappears for a while after this. Mm-hmm. You've got the rematch in your back pocket. You can do Cody and Rock in the interim. You can do, you can have Seth involved in some form or fashion, whether that's turning on Cody at some point.
I think Seth needs to be taken out earlier in the night.
Yeah, I think
whoever.
And Drew, you could do that with Damian Priest. You could do that with Drew.
Jay needs to be gone.
I think that's it. I think you have to have Cody. He's all out of backup, and it's bloodline rules, and
the Avengers are done. Who's going to come to the rescue? And that, to me, presents maybe the most interesting prospect of this match. Who can come out to save Cody? Now, could be nobody. Like, he could just kind of do it on his own. But there's also been at least discussion or rumors out there of possible interaction, or at least possible cameos on the show from John Cena or Steve Austin. It's at least in the air, you know, and people are at least talking about it. And would this be a good spot for either of those two?
I like the idea of kind of like that photo op at the end of Cody alongside. I just think you really want this to be Cody's big win. Like, Cody wins.
Well, he's only here to neutralize the rest.
Right,
only
right. There to neutralize that's a great spot. Like, you can.
Let's also remember those specific names: John Cena and Steve Austin. Obviously, Steve Austin and Dwayne Johnson are, you know, lifetime rivals. Let's also remember Solo Sikoa, who presumably will be the ringside, and his attachment to John Cena.
Yep.
That kind of, those two pair off perfectly, don't they?
Like, if you have Rock, like, there with that belt, and they've got to do a spot with Mama Rhodes at some point in the, she has been positioned for a big spot, but you have Rock in there with that belt and that glass goes, like, this place will lose their mind. It's a great spot to have. And yeah, if they just subdue the bloodline, Cody gets his win, and then boom, it's like, it's Cody in the ring with Austin and Cena
on either side.
That's, you know, that's a great moment.
Three of your Mount Rushmores, you know, like, past, present, future, whatever you want to call
Terry,
it.
Terry, we're good. We're just going with these guys. You're going to...
Hogan.
You're going to get to interview him backstage.
What's Hogan?
Brother, role? I got the belt. I had the weightlifting belt first.
Yeah, what's Hogan's role?
We don't need Terry.
Hogan's like, you know, hey, guys, can I come?
I'm around. I'm around.
I don't think this ends. There's 0% chance this year. Okay, and I can eat my words after this. But, like, there's 0% chance this year that Cody doesn't end. Finish the story, whatever you want to call it. Night one, Dwayne can present Mama Rhodes with the blood-stained weight belt. Night two, Cody presents his mom with the championship that Dusty never won.
That's a great, man. Look at you, the poet, Wei Ting. Yeah, I think that this is going to be tremendously booked, and I hope that, you know, coming out of it, you have all these other directions. And I think they have. Like, they've done the work going into this show where you have so much on the table, and I think you have a post WrestleMania period that's not going to be a lull. Instead, you have set up a lot of interesting stuff with all the different players. And I think that's why people are engaged at the moment. It's not just simply a hot shot by bringing The Rock back for 2 months that has invigorated people. It's the fact that Rock has complimented and put a spotlight on what has been a strong product. That's something I always go back to in 98. Yes, you invested all this in Tyson. What you were paying for was we've already got all these hot characters, and this is just the push to get those eyes on this product so that once Tyson leaves, you're invested and all these fans stuck around after Mania, and you had this whole generation of wrestling fans that came in through this Austin McMahon feud. And I think in a weird way, that's sort of been the design here. Rock has been front and center, but Rock disappearing for 6 months after this, the place isn't crumbling without him. And in fact, I think it's like, I think you're going to have a really strong post Mania period.
And what do you think of Roman Reigns after this WrestleMania?
I think he goes away. I would do the rematch could be SummerSlam. It could be a Saudi Arabia show, but I think at least till the summer, I think you just need a disappearing, like he's been defeated and what's happened with Roman Reigns and he disappears and you can bring him back for the rematch. I think from the get-go, this was designed for the eventual Roman Reigns babyface run. And that is something you can introduce too.
And an eventual Roman Reigns versus Dwayne Johnson match, I still have to think is very much in play.
Yep. That could be next year.
And do you get any of that tension at the end of this? You know, Roman is unsuccessful. Does he blame Dwayne in some way? You know, do they tell some of that story to lead to Roman losing the match? I'm very interested. You know, the more like, I mean, so much of my attention has been on this tag team match that I feel like almost like Cody versus Roman has been a little bit of an afterthought, but especially like presuming that it's going to be Bloodline Rules and all the possibilities of just the different sort of cameos and everything has made me a lot more interested actually in that one. So that's our WrestleMania preview. 1 hour here on this stream. Thank you, everybody, for joining us here on this impromptu stream. Again, we are going to be continuing our coverage from Philadelphia all throughout the rest of the week at postwrestlingcafe.com, where we should probably head towards the Mark Hitchcock show right now.
Oh, man, it starts really soon. Yeah, we are off to Mark Hitchcock. We'll do a reaction on the Post Wrestling Cafe, and then we'll come back with a show on the cafe Friday midday after we go to the WWE Media Day. We'll talk about that and whatever else is going on. But thanks to everyone for tuning in for this impromptu stream.
Before we get out of here, a few super chats here. Thank you so much. Rob McDonald sends $2. He asked me for a link to my Firefly Funhouse essay, so he enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Reprint that every year.
Thank you, Rob. Peaceful Observer sends $5 to say thank you all for the great coverage. Sorry if you covered this already. Thoughts on rumors that MJF could show up at Mania? Is this possible?
I don't think it is.
I don't think it's possible too. I haven't seen those rumors, but just knowing, I just don't think contractually that would be possible. But anyway, Andrew Brown says sends $5 to say Roman Reigns should come back with balloons.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get that. Maybe
Balloon Roman.
Yeah, introduce a money clip and he's off to the races. That was a great run.
Thank you all for being here. Again, join us in the Post Wrestling Cafe, and we'll otherwise talk to you guys after WrestleMania. Bye-bye.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
Okay, you can do this.
I know. Carvana makes it so convenient to sell your car. It's just hard to let go. My car and I have been through so much together.
But look, you already have a great offer from Carvana. That was fast.
Well, I know my license plate and VIN by heart, and those questions were easy.
You're almost there. Now to just accept the offer and schedule a pickup or drop-off.
How'd you do it? How are you so strong in letting go of your car?
Well, I already made up my mind, and Carvana's so easy.
Yeah, true. And sold.
Go to Carvana.com to sell your car the convenient way.
Dickie Bird here from Chopped Tees. Our summer super sale is now on. Grab up to 25% off selected tees and hats from Post Wrestling, WrestleNomics, The Lapsed Fan, Poison Rana, and more. Shipping is free and fast almost everywhere in the world. Just go to chopped-tees.com and grab a deal before the sale ends at midnight, July 7th.